It is my desire this week that God would speak to our hearts, that God would so move upon our hearts that in this world in which we live, that we would be the kind of believer that we ought to be. That we would set forth the example that we ought to set forth. Yeah. That people would see in our lives the reality of what it is to serve God.
Amen.
And what it is to have the blessings of the Lord upon our lives. I ask if you would open your Bibles to John chapter 15. And once you get there, I'd like if you would to just stick your finger in that passage. And then turn over to 1 John chapter 4. Our text will be in John chapter 15, but I would ask if you would also to turn to 1 John chapter 4. And really this will be a theme verse, if you will, for this whole week. It's something that I think that we need to get a hold of. And it should be a part of our lives each and every day. Looking now at 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Is the last part of that verse, is it something that you just read? Is it something that you hear quoted? Is it something that is familiar to you? Or is that a reality to you?
Yeah.
It needs to be a part of who we are. A part of our inner being, of everything that we do. The reality of knowing that greater is he that is in me, who is God, in the indwelling of his Spirit, leading, guiding, energizing, helping in every aspect of my life, and yours too as a child of God.
Amen.
Than he who is in the world, the old adversary.
Yeah.
What's that tell us? It tells us, beloved, that we have a force within us that's greater than any obstacle that we would come against. And this is a thought that I want us to have as we move through this week. Now in John chapter 15, and looking at verse 13, which will be our text for tonight. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends.
Amen.
Let us pray. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before you this evening, dear Lord, we are so very thankful for the privilege that we have to be here with the Rollinsburg Baptist Church this week. Dear Lord, how joyous it is to see familiar faces from friends that we've had for some time now. Dear Lord, it's so thrilling to also see individuals that I've not met before and to see thy hand upon this church. And
amen.
Lord, it just thrills our heart and thrills our soul.
Yes.
And Lord, also we come before you with a heavy heart in regard to the families that lost loved ones. And Lord, I pray that you would help them and comfort them as only you can. And Father, I pray now that as we look into this verse tonight, Father, that you would cause us to get a firm grip and an understanding of the love that you have for us, your children. And dear Father, I pray that you speak to our hearts tonight. And dear Lord, what you'll do, we'll thank you for these things we do ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
What I want to deal with this week is power.
Yeah.
Powerful things.
Amen.
Power that we have. You know, think about the way we are about things in general. What we want is the biggest, the most powerful thing that we can get a hold of. We don't want them little hinky-dink things, right? Give me something with some power to it. I may not know how to use it. I may hurt myself with it, but I want it. You know? Oh, beloved, we have power at our disposal in so many ways that is far greater than we could possibly imagine.
Amen.
And these are some of the things I want us to look at this week. Tonight, I want us to begin with the great power of God's love. The great power of God's love. As we look around us today, there is absolutely no mistaking that these are indeed difficult days in which we live.
Yes.
You don't have to look around very far to see things going on that just absolutely makes you scratch your head and wonder what on earth is going on. We're seeing things today in this great land of ours that we would not imagine 10, 15, 20 years ago. And now they're commonplace. Now they are the norm, if you will, in all that we do. And as we go through life, it seems among most people, and especially those who love the Lord, that disappointment and struggle are the only constant things about our lives. Every day is a fight. Every day is a struggle. Everything we do is a conflict. And disappointment just overwhelms us from time to time. But it's not always as it appears. And we'll touch on that here in just a minute. We also can see, sadly, that the influence of most of the churches around, not all, but most of the churches around have become completely anemic. And what they do, what they say, what they think is nothing more than an afterthought in the land in which we live.
Right. Amen.
Let me tell you this. It illustrates just how people are. Around our church building for the last, month maybe? We don't know exactly which night, or we probably would have a little surprise for them. But there is somebody who comes around and gets right on next to our building, and they find it that they should defecate right there. They have done it on our back porch, around the house of God. That would have never happened when I was a kid. People had respect for God's house.
That's right. Amen.
And to be perfectly honest, if I could get a hold of them, I'd like to beat some respect in them now. But that's in my flesh. That's maybe a good reason why I haven't caught them yet. But the reality is, beloved, the church is not much more than an afterthought around the world today. And if we're going to be honest about it, the reason in many cases is our own fault. Because of the way we live, the way we act, our testimony around, the fact that we act as though we serve a God who has no power, no influence, no ability, that folks have lost their fear of God.
Amen.
They're not any worse than they've ever been. They're still lost and totally depraved.
Right.
They're acting the way they always would have. Uh-huh. It's just now that, thanks to us, in many cases, they no longer fear God.
That's right.
And that's a shame on us.
Amen.
And that's a strike against us.
Yes, sir.
It appears that as far as our society is concerned, the message that we proclaim is nothing more than an antiquated message from a long past bygone day. Mm-hmm. Within our churches, we can see how that attendance has continually dwindled.
Yeah.
We can see how that in many cases, young people are not easily seen, not easily found. I tell you what, I love to hear the voices of children in church.
Me too.
I mean, I don't get upset if I hear a child in church.
Amen.
You know, I always figure, you know, my mouth's big enough. If I can't get over top of them, it's my problem, you know. But we don't find them a lot anymore.
Amen.
And the way the things are going, it's not positive. As we look, it seems that everything we try to do rarely amounts to anything other than failure and disappointment. As we think on these things, boy, isn't that a nice uplifting thought this evening? What I want you to think on, there are two factors we have to remember. Number one, this is only the way it appears and is in fact not the reality.
Right.
The reality is, folks, that regardless of what Satan would want us to think, regardless of how things appear to us, regardless of how the devil attacks us on every side, make no mistake, we are on the winning side.
Amen.
The devil is already defeated.
Jesus.
His end has already been proclaimed. Our promise of help is secure.
Amen.
And regardless of what they say, regardless of what they may do, they cannot touch the joy in our heart unless we let them.
Amen.
We have great things in store for us.
Yes, sir.
Listen, we look around and we think about it. We hear about the good old days. The Scriptures still say, they still say that the fields are white unto harvest. Is that not there?
Yes, sir.
The laborers are few.
Yes, sir.
The next time you feel inclined to complain about church attendance, ask yourself, when was the last time you went knocking on doors to invite folks to church?
Yeah.
The next time you feel inclined to fuss about what things are going on around the house of God, ask yourself, when was the last time you did something to help things around the house of God?
Amen.
Right?
Preach on, brother.
We have great things. I get tired of being around folks that every time you want to tell something, they'll give you a list as long as your arm of why it can't work.
Yeah. Right.
I don't like folks like that. You know, I like to be positive.
Amen.
I like to kid around. You know, those of you that know me know that. I love life. Life's too short not to have a smile on your face when you can. Life's too short not to enjoy the blessings of God. Don't let the devil cheat you out of those things. I also talk in tongues on occasion. Because of the disappointments and the struggles and the trials of life, you see a whole lot of people that, there is no doubt in my mind that they love God and they honor God and they serve God.
Yeah.
But they got long, sad, defeated
right.
faces.
Yeah.
No. Their shoulders are stooped.
Yes, sir.
Their steps are slow.
Preach on.
They don't seem to have much joy about them at all.
Amen.
Wake up!
Amen.
Look up! Victory is ours.
Amen.
Amen.
There may be some skirmishes. There may be some battles. We may bear some scars.
That's right.
But we will win.
Amen.
Praise God, we will win.
Yes, sir.
And why? For one reason, because of the great love of Almighty God upon our lives.
Amen.
And upon the things that we do.
Yeah.
Because of this fact, we should go forth fearlessly and proclaim the message of God, proclaim the life, the hope that's in God. And this, beloved, is the message that God has entrusted us with.
Amen.
And as we do so, we should do so with making apologies to no one for it.
Amen.
I've said this other places. I'm going to say it right here. My redemption was not granted to me by Allah.
No, sir.
Muhammad did nothing for me.
Right. Amen.
And this land wasn't established by them.
That's right.
This is our land.
Amen.
And we're letting them take it.
Yeah.
Shame on us.
That's right. Amen.
We have many great things that as we go through life that should give us hope, courage, and encouragement. And as we go through these things this week, we're going to see, hopefully, a lot of things that will lift our spirits, that will lighten our steps, and will challenge anyone here who may be lost.
Amen.
The first thing that we're going to be looking at this week is great love, as I've already said. Now, there are some things that we must keep in mind whenever we're talking about what amounts to the essence, the nature of God Himself. The first thing is, according to John chapter 4 and verse 24, that God is a spirit. They also told that they that worship Him must do so how? In spirit and in truth.
Amen.
Not in truth and being dead. Not in spirit and like running up and down the aisles without any truth.
Right.
But as believers that have there, we have the living spirit in us. Let's act like we're alive.
Lord.
Let's look like we're alive. And we have the truth to proclaim. The truth that set us free will set others free as well. This is something that's far more than just a simple statement. For if God had a literal body, then really how could he be omnipresent?
Right.
He would be wherever the body was at that particular time.
Yeah.
But being omnipresent, being a spirit, he is everywhere at the same time,
Amen.
All the time.
Amen.
In 1 John 1:5, the scriptures tell us that God is also light. This is important to us because evil is always depicted how? As darkness.
Yes, sir.
And if you've ever been in complete and total darkness, the kind of darkness that you can feel,
Amen.
You realize that just that tiny little pinprick of light can be seen for so far.
Absolutely.
Think about your life. Think about the despair you were in. Think about the sin you were in. Think about the depths of sin that you were in. Total darkness. No way out. No hope. No future. No nothing but eternal damnation.
Amen.
And then there came light. Praise God for the light.
Amen.
That illuminated the path for us. That enabled us to see how we are. And to see the cross and what was done for us.
Amen.
That blessed light. And the light that never goes out. The light that is still there with us, guiding us each and every day. And we also know that in 1 John 4:8, that God is also love.
Yeah.
His very essence is love. Amen. Now, this goes further than saying that God loves, because this says that He is love.
Amen.
And not just an action, but who He is.
Yeah.
This goes far further to being in just one of the attributes that are present with God. Also, we also need to understand that most of the people who constantly talk about God's love have no idea under the sun what they're talking about.
Right.
They're so far misguided that it's if it wasn't so tragic, it'd be funny how far off they are.
Amen.
When they're referring to the love of God, what they're talking about is that God will allow anything to go on without any consequences. That He knows the intents of their heart. He knows what's behind them. He knows that they're trying, and He knows that they're sincere and all those things. So therefore, everything's going to be all right.
Right. Amen.
Nothing could be further from the truth. Your good works, my friend, if you're here tonight and lost, your good works before God are worthless.
True.
If you're here tonight and lost, your good intentions mean nothing to God. It takes His blood.
Yes.
It takes salvation to make the difference.
Amen.
And let me take it a step further. If you're here tonight and lost, my friends, you are presuming on the kindness and love of Almighty God.
Yeah.
You are quite literally playing with God. And that's a very dangerous game to play.
Right.
What happened to Korah? The earth opened up and swallowed him alive with his followers, did it not?
Amen.
What happened to Uzzi when all he wanted to do was to steady the ark? God struck him down.
Yes, sir.
Right on the spot.
Yeah.
Now, am I saying that you're going to get struck down tonight if you're lost? No, I don't know. I'm not God. But what I'm saying is you're playing with God.
Yeah.
And that's a very dangerous game to play.
Sure.
Let me take it to the next step. If you're here tonight and saved, Your destiny is eternally set. You're saved. But if you're not living for God as you ought to, if you serve God as convenient, if your service to God is only something that you do to make yourself look good, to soothe your conscience, to do it out of a feeling of necessity and not love, you also are playing with God.
Amen. Amen.
And I'm not so sure, and I don't have Bible to back this up, but my opinion is it's even maybe more dangerous than that for the lost person, because we know better.
That's right?
Absolutely.
It's terrible.
If you're here tonight and you're saved, but your life's not what it ought to be,
Amen.
For everything that I can implore you, come get your life right with the Lord tonight.
Amen.
And walk through these doors tonight with a smile on your face and a song in your heart that hasn't been there for a very long time.
Thank you, Lord.
This subject, just like everything else that's connected with God and the opinions that we form on these subjects, must be based on the Scripture and not what the world says. And those are some of the things that we're going to be looking at as we move through here. Firstly, I'd like for us to notice the fact that God, the love of God is not swayed by anything or anybody. There is nothing at all in you and I as the recipients of God's love, absolutely nothing that would have caused us to receive it.
Right.
We didn't deserve it.
Yeah.
And yet God gave it to us.
Amen.
The love that folks have for one another, you're that person in your life that means more to you than life itself. Mm-hmm. There was something about that person that caused you to have that feeling toward them that grows over time. But there was something there. The common interests, appearance certainly plays into it. There's just something there that catches your eye.
Yeah.
And you catch their eye, and things begin to work.
Right.
Not so with God. There was nothing about us to catch His eye.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, the closest thing that I could think to that would be with Elaine and me. I mean, look at me. What's not to love? You know? I would confess my faults, but I don't have any. I gotta get busy again. We must never lose sight of the fact that the only reason, not just a part of the reason, but the only reason that God loves any of us is because of His will to do so.
Amen.
Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. The Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people.
Right.
But because the Lord loved you, and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt.
Praise the Lord.
Simply because of His love.
Yes, sir.
Because of the love of God, and because that great love is eternal, it completely eliminates there being anything that we can do to receive it.
Right.
If it is eternal, which it is, then, beloved, that means He loved us before He formed this world.
Right.
Amen. That means He loved us thousands of years before we were born. Man, let that sink in.
Yeah.
What love God has for us.
Amen.
And how powerful that love is.
Mm-hmm.
His love for us came to us from Himself and not anything else.
Amen.
How do we see this in action? We see this from the fact that the Scriptures declare to us that we love Him. Why? Because He first loved us.
Amen.
Not simultaneous, not love at first sight. Nor was His love reciprocal because we loved Him. No, no. We love Him because He first loved us before it ever happened.
Amen.
He loved us when there was not a single thing about us that loved Him. We were enemies of God. We hated God. We were enmity against the things of God, His Word, His work, His Son, everything connected to Him. And yet He loved us anyway.
Yep.
While we were yet sinners, Christ died on the cross for us.
Amen.
And that speaks to the vilest of all of us.
Yes, sir.
And the vilest that's out there in the world. Had God's love for us been in response to our love for Him, then there would be no way that it could be eternal, as we already looked at. Because it would have not formed until after we were here.
Right.
Not from the beginning of time.
Amen.
We got to remember that's God's love for each of us, not just a few, but each of us is absolutely unmoved by anything within ourselves.
Yeah.
What's that mean? Simply this, my friend, there's no way that you could ever do anything to make God stop loving you. Now, as a child of God, you wouldn't want to do it to begin with. And I believe that God would take you home before you went too awful far down that path. But the fact is, if it had an eternal beginning, then it's eternal on this end as well, right?
Right.
You cannot make Him unlove you or not love you anymore.
Amen.
If anything about us before, those things of our lives would have repelled Him, not caused Him to draw near to us. God cannot behold sin. God does not condone sin.
Right.
And yet that's everything, that's all we were, was sin, sinful creatures. Mm-hmm. And His love brought us there.
Amen.
We are completely sinful, depraved, with nothing good to be found
right.
within us.
Amen.
Yet, at the same time, this is so much more than we can ever completely understand with our finite minds. Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 3 said, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee."
Amen.
It was God who declared to the prophet that before He formed that prophet in the womb of his mother, He knew him.
Amen.
And He knew us as well.
Yes, sir.
Before we ever formed.
Amen.
Do you realize that God loved you before heaven and earth were spoken into existence?
Yes, sir.
And if you're here tonight and lost, and God is speaking to your heart,
yep.
and God is tugging on your heart, He has that same love for you.
Amen.
And it's that love that's drawing you tonight.
Absolutely.
If you're here tonight and saved and just not where you should be, and you feel miserable, mm-hmm. I'm glad you do.
Amen.
I am. I'm glad you do. Because that shows how God is dealing with you.
Yes, sir.
And that's letting you know that, yeah, I've disappointed. Who here hasn't disappointed the Lord at some time?
Amen.
Who among us has not?
Right.
And you know how we feel when we do it. But His love, His great, infinite, boundless love,
Amen.
Will forgive us.
Yes, sir.
And we can go on serving Him
Amen.
In a great and mighty way.
Amen.
We've seen this set forth in the New Testament as well. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. "According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will." That's why it happened. The good pleasure of His will. Folks, if this cannot make your heart, if this doesn't fill your heart with praise to Almighty God.
Amen.
If this doesn't fill your heart with joy, if this doesn't fill your heart with enthusiasm for God, then my friend, feel your pulse, because there's something wrong.
Amen.
If you're not either filled with joy or shame, depending on your heart right now, there's something wrong. There's no such thing as cold indifference in the service of the Lord.
Amen.
It's one or the other.
Absolutely.
And I only have to refer you to the church of Laodicea to get us to think about how God likes lukewarmness. Spew it out of His... Have you ever been, you know, working and you're hot and you're tired and, you know, you're exhausted, and boy, isn't it so good to come in and get a nice tall glass of lukewarm water? Yum! Yeah, it's repulsive, isn't it? That's how God sees our service when we're neither hot nor cold.
Amen.
This love is absolutely sovereign.
Yep.
Now this ruffles some folks' feathers today, but it's true nonetheless. How do we know this? Because God Himself is sovereign.
Yes.
And since He is, all this comes from Him is as well.
Amen.
God is under obligation to absolutely nobody.
Right.
Who can stay His hand?
Yeah.
Who can make Him do anything?
Right.
Who can force Him to do anything?
Yep.
And He always acts according to His own perfect will about all things, all times. Now, what about Nineveh? Nineveh is an interesting study when you think about it. And at first, Jonah didn't want to go, and God kind of corrected his thinking. And then Jonah went down there, and I believe he really let her fly when he got in there. And then he went out and got him a ringside seat so he could watch it happen. And then he got mad and pouted when they repented.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Did God not send a message of destruction to Nineveh?
Yes,
yes, he did.
Amen.
But it didn't happen. So what are we doing here? Well, you'll find that they repented then, but it wasn't too many generations later that they were right back where they were, and God did destroy Nineveh.
Sure did.
Just as he said he would. There's not a contradiction in God's word to be found at anywhere.
Praise God.
Simply put, God loves whomever he will. How about Jacob and Esau? Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. C.H. Spurgeon said one time he had no problem whatsoever understanding why God hated Esau. He just never could understand why God loved Jacob.
That's it.
Let me ask you, would you want to trade cards with Jacob? Jacob was a scoundrel.
He was.
Jacob would crook you just as easy as look at you. And yet God set his love upon him.
Amen.
Not because there's anything there in Jacob, but yet he did. Why? According to his will. This proves to us that the love of God is granted out of his will and has nothing whatsoever to do with anything within the person who receives it. Simply put, God loves whomever he will.
Amen.
As we look a little deeper, his love has no limits. Let that sink in. It has no limits.
All right.
We do. Do we not?
Yeah.
Think about it. Brother Stoniker and I have been friends for a lot of years now. He's my pastor. And after services, I could go out and take my key, walk down beside his vehicle and put a scratch from one end to the other. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know what I was thinking. Please forgive me. And he would, because it's the kind of fella he is. And go and get it fixed. I'd pay to have it fixed. Tomorrow night I do the same thing. Wednesday night I do the same thing. After a while, he's not going to think too much of me, right? And the point I'm making is we all have limits, don't we?
Yeah,
there comes that point where, you know, that's it, I've had it. Thank God Almighty he doesn't work that way with us.
Amen.
All the times that we've disappointed him. All the times that we've went astray. All the times that we knew we shouldn't do it and we did it anyway. All the times that we had opportunities to witness and we refused to do so. All the times that we had opportunities to serve and we refused to do so. And yet his love is right there for us, the same today as it was even before he saved us.
Amen.
It has no limits.
Right.
Thank God for that fact.
Amen.
I dare say we'd all be in a mess if it wasn't that way.
Yeah.
His wisdom is without any limits at all. And he always knows everything, past, present, and future.
Amen.
You know, that's why I've read many that they refer to the ways with God as just one eternal now. You know, we have past, present, and future, and I can see what they base that on when they're going. Everything about God is far beyond anything that we can wrap our minds about, and his love is far greater than anything that we could estimate. What does this mean to us? There's absolutely no tongue that can adequately express just how marvelous and without limit God's love is for us.
Amen.
And there's some great writers out there, aren't there? There's folks that can can take with a pen and paper, and they can make words, you know, their poetry and things that's just beautiful to read, and it moves hearts and so forth. Even the best of them cannot express it adequately. There's no mind that can adequately comprehend all that is involved with God's great love for you and I.
Amen.
The very best that we can come up with is far below what God's love is really all about. All the opposition and the attacks to God's love and to the fact that God loves whomever He will does not take anything from it.
Amen.
It doesn't hurt it. It doesn't change it. His love is unchangeable. We're told in Scripture that there is no turning with God in regard to anything, but especially as we're looking at it tonight in love.
Amen.
Therefore, His love will not change in any way. We looked at that already. Despite of all of Jacob's unbelief through his life, despite all of his waywardness, God never ceased to love him.
Right.
That's right.
And if you want to go a little bit further, look at the heads of the 12 tribes. That was a motley crew, wasn't it?
It was.
And yet God loved them.
Amen.
And God blessed them.
Yep.
And they are the heads of the 12 tribes of Israel, even to this very day. And something, beloved, that we it should make us shout out at the top of our lungs. The fact that divine love is something that's not affected in any way, at any time, by anything. Nothing that works as in our love toward other folks. Therefore, there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that can separate us from the great love of God.
Amen.
Nothing.
Amen. Right.
We could land in some cold, dank jail cell tonight, and God would still love us.
Absolutely. Amen.
You take time, sometime, and read about was it a verse? Or I think it was a verse, the chorus one to the song, "The Love of God," mm-hmm. where they found that final verse, and you'll find out that God's love doesn't fail. What a blessing. I really wonder, do we understand that? Do we grasp that? Is it a part of us? His love does not fail.
Amen.
Therefore, we have nothing to fear.
Right. Right.
We can go forward with assurance
That's right.
that God will bless.
Amen.
And God will help.
Amen.
When death comes, and it's not something that we long for, it's not something that we look forward to, but yet it does come. It comes to all, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Young and old. That doesn't mean that God didn't love that person. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love us. In fact, in some ways, it's a great expression of His love that He takes that person home. Right?
Thank you.
Amen. We grieve for ourselves. We don't grieve for the one who's passed because they're far better off than we are.
Yep,
we grieve because of the sadness and the emptiness of our hearts. So, beloved, even if death is what awaits us on outside those doors, it's not because God's love failed. It's still there. His love will be with us throughout all eternity.
Amen.
It's holy. God's love is not relegated by any of the passions or sentiment of you and I. It's a tragic thing when you look around and see how many homes burst up anymore. Homes that actually that stay together are in the minority by far. And you know, not pointing a finger at anybody or anything. I'm just saying it's sad. And in some cases, you got that. I said some cases. The problem is that somebody in the marriage don't know the difference between love and lust. It ain't the same. Right?
Right.
Lust will die.
Yep.
Love doesn't.
Right.
It keeps going.
Absolutely.
Right?
Amen.
And the love that God has for us is not something that'll burn out. It's there.
That's true.
Amen.
It was the love that sent His Son to the cross for us. It was the love that made a way of redemption possible for us.
Amen.
It was the love that gives us power.
Thank you, Lord.
To go forth into whatever God would have us to do. I've said this before. I don't. Maybe I've said it here. I probably have at some point in time. that there, when I was in high school, and that was just a year or so ago, but when I was in high school, there was a class that I wanted to take very badly, and it was psychology. And I did get to take some when I was in college. I took several of them, in fact. But anyway, the reason that I would not take psychology in high school was because you had to get up before the class and give oral book reports. And the thought of getting up before people and talking scared the life out of me, and I wouldn't take the class. Yeah, I was that shy about it. You know, what makes a difference? God's hand, God's grace, God's calling.
Amen.
God's calling is His enabling, right?
Yes, sir.
My friend, whatever it is that God has for you to do, don't fear. Moses couldn't talk clearly, could he?
No.
Yet, God pointed out to him, I know you have that problem. I'm the one who created you with it. And God used him.
Amen.
I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how many mistakes you've made in life. Whatever God would have you do, do it boldly. Do it with enthusiasm. Do it with drive. Because God will enable you to do it.
Amen.
And why is He having you to do it? It's out of His love. That's why. Also, don't make the mistake of thinking that God's love even for us is a blank check type thing, because if we get out of line, God will correct us too, won't He? Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth.
Amen.
You know, what happens to a child that's never corrected? That child becomes a brat, right?
Yep.
What's the definition of a brat? A child that acts just like yours and belongs to somebody else. Yeah. But the reality is, a child has to be corrected, right?
Amen.
A child has to be guided.
Absolutely.
And so do you and I spiritually.
Amen.
From time to time we need corrected and we need guidance.
Thank you, Lord.
And finally, man, I hate it. Would somebody move them hands back on the clock just about 10 minutes? Time flies when you're having fun. Or at least I am. It is tremendously gracious. Gracious. When we think about that, it is this love for you and I that caused Him to give His Son for us.
Thank you, Lord.
It is that power and love that was behind the incarnation of Jesus. The Creator of heaven and earth, the Son of Almighty God, left the splendor of heaven to be born in a feeding trough.
Right.
He came for us.
Amen.
Jesus did not die in order to make us love Him, but rather He died to show God's love for us.
Amen.
To manifest that love for us.
Yes.
To take us and make us who we are.
Amen.
If we for one moment begin to doubt the love of God for us, all you need to do is look back to Calvary.
Amen.
And you'll see just how much He had.
Right.
Even though Jesus is the Son of God, He still faced all the trials and troubles that you and I face in life.
Right.
He was tempted in all points like us, yet without sin.
Amen.
This should show us that even though we're saved, we're still going to have to face problems. We're still going to have to face trials and tribulations in this life.
Amen.
But there can be no doubting. Not for one moment. There can be no doubting the fact that there's any way that we can fail. Why? Because of the great power of the love of God.
Amen.
That made us alive.
Yes,
that will enable us to love others, and that will cause us to serve Him.
Amen.
Each and every day. So great is the power of God's almighty love for us.
Amen.
May God help us to get a hold of these facts this evening.
Amen.
Brother Stoniker.
And all of God's children said,
amen.
Amen. Good sermon, good preaching.